We had the Air Guard Black Hawk come in and hoist the hiker.
After 4 extra days on the Juneau ice field, a stranded hiker is rescued from the Upper Mead Glacier. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Nicholas Shotkovsky. That story and more up next. After numerous reconnaissance and attempted rescue flights over the last 4 days, Skagway-based hiker Kyle Dungan has been retrieved from the upper reaches of the Mead Glacier. Dungan had been dropped off on the Mead by a Haynes ski plane on February 20th. Referred to by the Alaska State Troopers as an experienced mountain guide, Dungan had planned to be on the ice field for 15 days for what was described as an extreme hiking trip. But when the plane arrived at his pickup location last Sunday, Dungan wasn't there. Pilot Drake Olson was able to locate Dungan about 7 miles away from the planned rendezvous site, but couldn't land in the rough terrain of that location. Lieutenant Nate Johnson of the Coast Guard Rescue Coordination Center in Juneau.
The location is it's only a few miles from the Canadian border. It's about 4,000 feet above sea level on that glacier. It's up in the ice field, and it's a position that's almost equidistant between the face of the glacier there near Haynes and where Berners Bay heads up towards the ice field, further down towards Juneau. So it's a tough spot to get to and a tough spot to be in.
Olson returned Monday morning and successfully delivered a handheld radio to Dungan, by which the stranded hiker reported that he was tired and hadn't eaten for 4 days, but was otherwise okay. At this point, the Coast Guard became involved. They flew once on Monday and twice on Tuesday, accessing the area via Berners Bay. Alaska Heliskiing also made a flight into the area. But due to high winds, snow, and especially poor visibility, including dense fog, none of these flights were able to retrieve, locate, or communicate with Dungan. On Wednesday morning, the Coast Guard made another unsuccessful attempt, Lieutenant Johnson describes.
We flew earlier today. We used 2 helicopters to help the troopers search for Mr. Dungan, and one of them was an Army Black Hawk, Army National Guard Black Hawk, with 3 Juneau Mountain Rescue volunteers on it. And we used one of our own Coast Guard Jayhawk helicopters with another 3 Juneau Mountain Rescue volunteers on it. Unfortunately, because of dense fog near the ice and really low ceilings in the mountains there by Haynes, we were not able to put those ground search team members on the ground and in a safe location, and we're not able to reestablish radio contact.
On Wednesday afternoon, a second attempt was made, which finally ended in success. OS-1 Jeffrey Roberto of the Coast Guard District 17 Command Center in Juneau describes the operation.
We had a Coast Guard helo go out to their location using a different route. They were able to get in closer. They did spot the hiker on the ground, but due to the weight of the aircraft, they were not able to land on the glacier. What the flight commander done, ordered the crew to drop a marking smoke flare to mark the location, and we had the Air Guard Black Hawk come in and hoist the hiker.
The helicopters then flew to the Haynes Airport with Dungan on board. At the time of this report, his exact physical condition was unknown, although no medical emergencies were reported by the flight personnel. The Coast Guard had planned to bring him to Juneau for medical evaluations, but Dungan chose instead to remain in Haynes and undergo evaluation there. As most residents of the Upper Lynn Canal already know, the Haynes Glacier Bears boys took first place for 3A schools at Southeast's Region 5 tournament in Sitka. The Glacier Bears will soon be traveling to Anchorage to compete in the state tournament in which Haynes also took first place last year. In order to raise funds to help with travel, the team is putting on a benefit spaghetti dinner Thursday evening at 6 p.m. at the Haynes School. Coach Fossman.
Yeah, we're doing there's going to be a spaghetti dinner and auction fundraiser Thursday evening at 6 to help first travel to the state tournament. So should be the last time we did it was a real fun time, and hope to see, you know, people there, and the guys will be out, you know, mingling with the crowd and having a good time. It's going to be at the open area in the school, the cafeteria, and it's going to be 6 o'clock Thursday night, and it's $30 for a family, $10 for an individual, and $5 for kids 10 and under, and there will be an auction going on at the same time.
Anyone who would like to donate items for the auction can contact the school office at 766-6700. Robert Woolsey of station KCAW has this wrap-up of the Region 5 basketball tournament in Sitka, including play by Haynes and Skagway teams.
The Sitka High girls were undefeated in conference play going into the title game with Haynes, but early on at least did not play like favorites. The Sitka girls had both size and power on Haynes, but the Glacier Bears defense controlled the inside from the opening tip-off. When the first quarter ended with the score tied at 5-5, it looked like an upset in the making. Sitka coach Rich Krupa said afterwards that his team had lost its focus.
You know, I think nerves and jitters were involved a lot. We played very, very good defense. We just struggled to score tonight, you know. All night long, it seemed like we worked to score. Man-to-man offensively is usually our strength, but we just struggled a little bit tonight. Jitters, I think. I don't know.
At halftime, the score was still tied at 16. Sitka's post, Shariah 80, already had two fouls under the boards on defense. On offense, when she tried to work the ball inside, 80 would draw fouls from Haynes. In the third quarter, Haynes went up by two on a drive by their relentless point guard, Hannah Wing. That seemed to be the wake-up call for Sitka. Guards Brandy Albee and Catherine Mettinger began to look to the middle offensively. They got the ball to Fusi Pulatau at low post, who pivoted for an easy layup, and suddenly the Sitka girls remembered how to play the kind of basketball that got them to the championship. Coach Krupa described his winning formula.
A combination of continue to believe in each other and work hard, and they were poised, they executed what we're supposed to do, and we got some easy points. So.
Sitka was up by 6 at the end of the third quarter and had opened a 10-point lead midway through the fourth, but the top two scorers for Haynes, Hannah Wing and Abby Jones, with 21 points between them, kept the game within reach. Haynes closed to within 3 with 1:45 left in the game. Sitka's Mettinger sank a clutch free throw for a little breathing room, then Justine Chapman sank two more with 14 seconds on the clock, and the Sitka girls had their championship. Mettinger, a senior playing in her last conference game in Sitka, said her team's depth made the difference.
Pretty amazing. Absolutely. I don't even know what to say.
Nice clutch free throws at the end.
Thank you. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I was so nervous. But the whole bench, everyone was so supportive. It was amazing. I can't believe we just all worked together, and we've got such a deep bench and so much support from everybody. It just came together, and it was good.
In the following game, this was the din that greeted the Mount Edgecombe boys as they took to their home court to play a heavily favored Haynes team for the 3A championship. Edgecombe got the opening tip-off and scored 6 unanswered points on turnovers they forced in a full-court press. The Glacier Bears seemed uncomfortable and impatient playing catch-up ball. Haynes was undefeated in conference play this year and, in a sense, untouchable. Guard Kyle Fossman, who is headed for a full scholarship at UAA next year, put up 30 to 40 points per game all season. Fossman is not large, but he's mature and strong and an order of magnitude faster than any other player in Southeast Alaska. When he got away from the Edgecombe press, he rode down the court on rails for textbook layups and easy jump shots. Edgecombe's press was tenacious, and the Braves continued to double-team Fossman defensively and contain his passing. Edgecombe led 16-14 at the end of the first quarter and 29-26 at halftime. But there was never a time during the first half when Fossman and the rest of the Haynes offense did not appear dangerous. Beginning in the third quarter, every time Haynes went up by a point or two, it could have been the beginning of the end for Edgecombe. But instead of tiring, the Braves' offense turned golden. Sean Melavidoff, Zach Ivanoff, and freshman John Peterson each matched Fossman's 18-point total for the game, which evolved into a basket-for-basket scoring duel that literally came down to the final second when Peterson scored a layup to tie the game at 62 and also drew a foul. The freshman's free throw missed, and the stunned Braves went into overtime flat-footed while the Hanes offensive machine racked up 6 unanswered points. Unbelievably, it was Peterson who brought Edgecombe back to life with 2 baskets that saw the Braves close to within 1 point. Hanes Fossman, who had been cold at the line all night, drew a foul and sank both free throws. With 25 seconds left, Edgecombe's Alexi Nick scored on an inbound play, but Hanes was able to keep possession, run out the clock, and take the win in overtime, 72-71. This was Hanes coach Steve Fossman's first regional championship. He tipped his hat to Mount Edgecombe.
Unbelievable tonight, the crowd, electric, and what a game to end on. I don't know, I just can't say enough. You know, it's great to come out on top on a game like this. And my hat's off to the Edgecombe boys. What a hell of a game they played.
Hanes last went to the state tournament 2 years ago as the second seed from Region 5. They'll open at Anchorage's Sullivan Arena on March 15th. The Sitka girls will play their opening round game on the same day. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And reporting for KHNS, this is Nicholas Shodkovsky.